So let's pray as we prepare to hear the scriptures read and consider the word of the Lord. Father Almighty, we give thanks for this joyous occasion, this great miracle that we celebrate. The Word of God made flesh. Come as one of us. Come to walk with us, to teach us, and finally, to die for us. So we pray that as we think on those issues, Lord, as we think about those truths, that you would speak to our hearts, please. By your Spirit, help us to be illuminated to the truth of your word. And may Christ Jesus our Lord blaze brightly in our hearts and minds. I ask in his strong and mighty name. Amen. Amen. I'm leaving tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a minute here. When I walked in this evening, Nisha said something about traveling mercies to me. So I'm calling tonight's message Traveling Mercy. I'll explain what I mean by that in a little bit. But traveling mercy is what we're talking about. So you may or may not be aware, but in the New Testament there are four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each that record the life and the ministry of Jesus from a different person's perspective, from a different angle. Two of those birth narratives, Matthew and Luke, two of those gospels contain what we call birth narratives, or the story of the birth of Jesus. George read for us this morning, this evening. He said good morning to me when he came in tonight. It's just, we're used to saying good morning when we come to church. But George read Matthew's gospel narrative of the birth of Jesus. And by the way, George told me that Go Tell It on the Mountain was his favorite Christmas song. So after he read, we got to sing that. Happy, did you say? Good. So the other birth narrative, the other telling of the story of Jesus is found in Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And Luke introduces his gospel by informing us that he researched for writing his gospel since he wasn't himself an eyewitness to the life and ministry of Jesus. He tells us that he researched for writing his gospel by interviewing various disciples who were eyewitnesses to the ministry and the life of Jesus. Okay? So, of all of the disciples of Jesus who would have been an eyewitness to his birth, there was only one. Yes? His mother. Add to that in Luke's telling of the birth of Jesus, he focuses a lot on Mary and where she goes and the events that are going on. The Annunciation, when the angel comes and announces the birth to her, her visit to her cousin's Elizabeth's house, her beautiful song of praise, we call it the Magnificat, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So I think it's safe to assume that Luke got his information concerning the birth of Jesus from his mother, Virgin Mary. And so with that, I want to read to you a brief portion of, because Luke's telling of the birth of Jesus is quite a lengthy ordeal, but I'll just for a brief bit of that, I'll read for us in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, in addition to the gospel reading that we had, that George brought us this morning. So this is Luke 2, 1 through 7, hear the word of the Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, so I'll just tell you this. And I could probably say this about most of my life, but I wasn't thinking very clearly the day that I booked an airline ticket for tomorrow. And the truth of the matter is, I thought traveling on Christmas Day might be pretty good. I thought the airports and the airlines, fewer people would be traveling. What I didn't think about, and I was talking to my mom at the same time that I was on the phone with her, looking on the computer to buy an airline ticket and multitasking, and I should never multitask, right? Because I end up doing something stupid. So what I didn't think about was the time of day that I booked a flight for on Christmas Day. When I booked it 8:15 in the morning, didn't seem that terribly early, right? But I forgot to take into account that it's an hour to the airport, and you're supposed to be there 2 hours early, and all of a sudden my 8:15 flight out of Midway Airport means getting out of bed at 4 a.m. It's on Christmas Day, you know? What's worse is I have to beg a friend to have mercy on my poor soul because I'm not wealthy enough to hire a limousine, so somebody please get up and take me in the morning. So that's my Christmas plans. I'll just tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to go see my grandmother. This gray-haired guy up here has got a grandmother living. That's pretty cool. So I'm going to go see my grandmother for a day and then travel with my folks to their house and spend a week with them. So get to see some family. But my Christmas travel plans, while they're really not all that bad, they did provide me with some food for thought. In considering the Christmas travels of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, the unborn Christ child, 2,000 years ago. And by comparison, I anticipate that whatever difficulties I run into tomorrow, somebody said it's supposed to snow in the morning, you know, however bad it could possibly get, between getting up early and possibility of snow and delayed flight, my troubles tomorrow will be nothing in comparison with that first Christmas journey. First of all, I'm not pregnant. Nor am I traveling on donkey or perhaps on foot because the gospel doesn't even say that Mary rode a donkey. We just picture it that way. But she may have had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem on foot while expecting a child. Nor do I have to face the prospect of providing for my firstborn child an animal's feeding trough for a bed. That would be troubling, yes? So this was some rough Christmas travel, and already in Mary's womb, Jesus had traveled quite a distance. And the arduous travels would continue for some time. There will be a trip to Egypt to escape the slaughter of Herod's slaughter of the innocent. So I'm thinking about Mary and Joseph and Jesus and their trip, their travels to arrive at Bethlehem for the birth of Christ. And as I alluded, Nisha said something about traveling mercies when I walked in this morning. So we hear people talk about traveling mercies, and what we mean is when somebody's traveling, we pray and we ask God to watch over them and keep them and get them to their destination safely. But I'm going to borrow that expression, traveling mercies, to describe the first Christmas trip, the first Christmas journey. And I'm going to call that trip, that journey, traveling mercy. because the baby, still unborn, carried from Nazareth to Bethlehem, is the very expression of God's mercy. Traveling along dusty roads. This is traveling grace, traveling truth, traveling everything that we know of Christ. This is the Word of God on the move. But there's something much deeper to it than that. Because the journey to bring God's mercy to the manger in Bethlehem crossed more than the first century land of Palestine. And here's what I mean by that. I mentioned that there are two gospels that record the birth of Jesus, Matthew and Luke. But there's a third gospel, the Gospel of John, that views the incarnation through a much different lens. A lens that takes the journey of God's mercy in the person of Jesus Christ from the perspective of stuff that we can't see and comprehend, the perspective of things beyond this world. And they reveal a journey that is mind-boggling. John speaks of the incarnation like this. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The Word became flesh, and He made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So, you see, mercy's journey crossed vastly greater territory than the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And the condescension into a manger for a bed is infinitely greater when we consider that the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, the firstborn son of Mary, is God incarnate. Hannah sang, "Mary, did you know that when you kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God?" And so He left a place where His glories knew no end, where heavenly choirs sang of His holiness, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," ceaselessly, never ceasing. He passed from the realms of eternity to the realms of the temporal, to the realm of time and space, and He did it because. He did it because He is mercy. And His desire that all people be saved brought Him from the great unknown to our lost, dark world to shine the love of God and ultimately to lay down His life as a ransom for your lost soul and mine. We closed Sunday's time of worship by singing a song together. We're not going to sing it tonight, but I'm mindful of it here. As I consider Jesus Christ, the condescension when He came to earth. The song we sang, "King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly You came to the earth You created, all for love's sake, became poor." He is traveling mercy. Amen. Would you again join me in prayer as we close our time, the Word, and then we're going to turn our attentions to the table. Father, we thank You for the Word, and we thank You for Your Word made flesh, Christ Jesus. We thank You for the love and the mercy that compelled the King of creation to enter our world. He didn't lead a rescue mission. He is the rescue mission. He came to rescue sinners and to set them free. For that we are grateful. And now, Father, as we turn our attentions to the table, help us to taste of your grace through bread and wine, to hear the gospel proclaimed. We ask it in Jesus' name.